So this is Proverbs 23, 17, and 18. It says, "Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Proverbs, for blessing us with your wisdom that comes from above. Thank you for these words that I just read. Pray for you to speak to us, speak through me tonight, guide us through your Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the verses that I just read are part of Proverbs that is known as the 30 Sayings of the Wise. So unlike most of the book of Proverbs, they're not written by Solomon. But through the power of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Spirit, these Proverbs were penned by someone in the ancient Near East, and then they were compiled into this section of Proverbs titled The 30 Sayings of the Wise. And I find that to be an amazing evidence of God's grace and how he reveals himself to people in his world. You may wonder why I chose this passage for perseverance. There's many other passages in the Bible that speak of perseverance, but I'll explain why. The Christian life begins when God works through his Spirit in our hearts so that we trust in Christ and then that we live by faith in him day by day. But trusting in Christ for salvation is just the beginning of the Christian life. And I would say that the Christian life is one where our loves are being progressively redirected to God and to the things that he loves, so that both we and our loves grow into what God wants. So he's reforming us into what he wants. And this is a journey that we're all on until glory. Spencer spoke about that this morning at the end of his sermon. But we're faced with the difficulty of life in a sinful world. And we continue to deal with our own sin in our own lives, in our communities. And it's easy to get off course on the journey of the Christian life, of becoming more and more like Christ. We can easily start focusing on ourselves. We can easily start focusing on things that are only temporal or immediate. When we're sad or weary, or both, it's easy to get discouraged. And this discouragement can lead us to the temptation to fall back into old sinful patterns, such that our hearts go out to things that are not of the Lord, such that we envy sinners, even though we might not be willing to admit it. At the same time, some of us may simply be tempted to check out of the good and hard work that God has given us. I think of the psalmist here in Psalm 55 who says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would fly away and be at rest. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and the tempest." That psalm is talking about someone being betrayed by their friend. So, we don't like to say that we envy sinners, but we have done so at one point or another. And it's because we're all on this journey of sanctification. For example, in our context, it can seem simpler and easier to avoid the difficult aspects of being faithful to the Lord, such as having that hard conversation, of saying what you truly believe clearly. And we can be tempted to pursue a comfortable and convenient suburban American life. And really, this is just our context's way of flattening a life that is meant to be vertical and upward in orientation. So Proverbs 23, 17, and 18 provides us with both the goal that we aim at in life and the manner in which we pursue it. And tonight I'm going to speak to these two verses and talk about two ways that we persevere in difficulty. I'll start with the manner that we pursue our goal in life. So you can look here in verse 17 and see what it says. We persevere in difficulty through continually growing in the fear of the Lord. Verse 17 is an exhortation that starts with a negation. It says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. There's only one actual verb, one finite verb in this verse, and it's envy. And so there's let not, but continue, and you want to continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. The construction of the sentence basically says, not this, but rather this. The word envy means to be jealous or zealous for something. It sometimes in the Bible refers to God and his jealousy for his people's exclusive loyalty. But in the Proverbs, it is often used more negatively. I could list three or four other verses in Proverbs that use this verb very similarly to this one. And this verse provides us with a negative contrast. It says, don't envy sinners, but rather continue in the fear the Lord all the day, or fear the Lord continuously. If you look at the verses in Proverbs 23, just scan over them, you'll see that the first 11 verses of this chapter warn against the dangers of actions done without fear of the Lord, without any respect toward him, any regard toward him. Verses 1 through 3, that's a saying. It says, don't desire the delicacies of the wealthy. Watch your heart when you eat their delicacies. Verses 4 and 5, don't trust fundamentally in your wealth. By contrast, if you jump down to verses 12 through 16, you see how generational delight and life come from heeding instruction and come from fearing the Lord. The temptation in all of our hearts to envy is strong, especially when we're discouraged. It can seem like it is easier or more enjoyable to think or to live according to the ways of the world, to see how we can protect ourselves or garner support for what we want. But this verse is saying the opposite. It says, consider your heart and fear the Lord. As Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. Derek Kidner says that the way that we fight this envy in our hearts is by looking up. He just has a way with words, and I love that. He said, we fight this envy by looking up. Wisdom is a matter of the heart, and it starts by looking up to the Lord. I spoke briefly to the fear of the Lord last week, and I'm going to speak a little more tonight to this. It starts with apprehending who God is, and then worshiping him, trusting him, and obeying him. This fear of the Lord comes from seeing who he is and how his plan unfolds in his word. This leads to a deepening love for him and a forgetfulness of ourselves so that we seek to please him in all that we do. That's why the Lord's Prayer starts with Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's a prayer that is about fearing the Lord. It comes out of a fear of the Lord. In expounding the first phrase of the Apostles' Creed, the Heidelberg Catechism says this in the answer to question 26. You can look it up later, but I'll read it now. It says, I believe that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father for the sake of Christ his Son. And listen to this. It says, I trust God so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul. And he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this vale of tears. That's a good way of describing this life. It says, he is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful father. This verse in Proverbs 23 is saying that we must continually and actively pursue the fear of the Lord each moment of each day. We must persevere in acknowledging him, his work, his power, his beauty. I mean, we've had some incredibly gorgeous sunsets the last few days. Use those moments to continue to walk in the fear of the Lord, to pray. His grace, his mercy. And it also means that we're to persevere in turning away from the things that used to entice us to the things that are of him. One commentator says that we are to envy or to be jealous for the fear of the Lord, to let ourselves be moved with an eager desire after it when its appearance is presented to thee. So we want to be growing in our desire for this fear of the Lord. It's amazing. It's like, I delight to walk in your commandments, Psalm 119, right? So this verse calls us to check our hearts, as the consternation that we feel when thinking about faithfully doing the right thing and persevering in this when we're tired can come from misplaced love in our hearts. Loves for things of this world, or for ourselves that have gotten in front of love for God. James says that the worldly wisdom comes from jealousy and selfish ambition in our hearts. And the answer to worldly wisdom is to look up to God and to ask him to continue to reform and remake us with his wisdom by the power of his Spirit. In our fast-paced day where we can forget and lose sight of the Lord in the hustle-bustle of life, I think a practical way that we can look up is by slowing down and looking back, by going back to the love of the Father through soaking in his word, through recognizing his mercy and his kindness to us. Augustine said that he reminded himself of his past foulness so that he could love God more. And it's not because he took any major pleasure in looking back to his past sin, but I think for him, that amplified his delight in God's love for him and the mercy that he had shown him. Another practical way that we can look up is by coming to worship, through being with his people, through praying with his people, through reading and reflecting on catechisms that I read a few moments ago. Through these seemingly small things, God works by his Spirit to deepen our fear of him, our love for him, and our devotion to him. He gives us the perspective and the disposition and the spiritual resources that we need to persevere in the Christian life, as through this, he brings us to live humbly before him and give ourselves for him. I keep quoting Spencer, but this is a perfect moment to do so. He said this morning that love involves the whole person and that it plays itself out in action. And this is the fear of the Lord. This love comes from the fear of the Lord, from delighting to do his commandments. So all of this brings us to our goal in the Christian life, as this is essential to consider when talking about perseverance. We need to know what we're striving towards. So look at verse 18, because we have the second way that we persevere in difficulty. Verse 18 shows us that we are to persevere through looking ahead to our sure hope. It gives the reason for continuing in the fear of the Lord. It says, surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Ultimately, the reason for perseverance is rooted in our future as God's people, a future of being received into his presence, into the land of the living. Proverbs 24, verse 20, just one page over, speaks of the future of the wicked. It says, for the evil man has no future, the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Well, what's the difference here? As Proverbs 24, verse 2 says, the wicked are caught up with violence in their hearts. Their hearts are not changed by the Lord. The righteous, on the other hand, seek the Lord's wisdom, and they seek his strength by faith. The fact that the wicked will be put out, the lamp of the wicked will be put out, that fact doesn't give us license to be vindictive towards sinners. It's important to say this, and because it's actually just the opposite. I think that the fact that the lamp of the wicked will be put out should fuel our love for those who are caught in sin. As God calls us to humbly show his love and his character to others so that they might see him and come to him by his grace. I was at a wedding last night with a lot of friends from college, many of whom who are likely not walking with the Lord, and I was convicted by this. I need to be embodying Christ's love in these relationships, because who knows what he will do? Who knows that through our assertive obedience and humble trust in him, he might draw others to himself. We need to trust him in that, but it's an amazing thing to think about the Lord doing that. God is looking for those who walk in faith. He's looking for those who walk in humble fear and love of him. He's looking for his faithful. And as we saw last week with David, he works faith in us by his grace. It's not something that we do in our own strength. The faithful are near to God in daily life, and they look forward to being received into his presence forevermore. A beautiful Old Testament depiction of this is in Psalm 16, and the New Testament develops on the idea of blessings forevermore with our blessed hope, Christ returning and bringing the new heavens and the new earth. But the future that verse 18 speaks of here is this blessed hope. It's the day when we die and are received into Christ's presence, into the presence of our Father, or it's the day when Christ returns to make all things new, if he comes before we die in this earthly life. As verse 18 says, our hope will not be cut off. There's many things that keep us from being faithful, but our hope will not be cut off. It's personal. Your hope will not be cut off. And it's a personal hope, not because of anything in us, not because of something that we conjure up or think of, a state of mind that we have. It's because of the Father. It's because he has been faithful to his people, and in Christ, he will be faithful to us today. This is our means for both encouragement and for faithful perseverance in the Christian life. Because the Lord cut and bound himself in a covenant with Abraham long ago, he doesn't cut off his people. Because of this, he has been faithful to his people through the ages, and he will be faithful to us forever. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 11 says that the Old Testament saints looked forward by faith in God's promise to Christ. That is, by the faith that God worked in them, they trusted his promise, and his promise culminated in Christ. Today, we have a sure hope if we have trusted in what Christ has done. And we're also called to trust in God now, just like Abraham, for things that are unseen, for the hope of Christ's return. And no matter what the difficulty we face for being faithful right now, if we belong to him, we have a future. I learned how to ski in my early 20s, and I never have liked riding on ski lifts. And you get on a really rickety ski lift, and the clouds are resting on the mountains in the morning, and it's not a fun experience because you're basically floating in the air. But you're sitting on this seat on a ski lift, and you see the line. That's the only thing you can see, and it's going up, right? And all you need to do is hold on. You need to hold on to that. And the cool thing about it is when you keep riding up the ski lift, you sometimes will go through the clouds, and they'll open up, and you'll see this pillow of clouds, and it's a glorious morning, right? And I think that's a metaphor for some of our seasons in life, for walking through difficult times. We just hang in there. we look at the line and we know where it's going, and we trust him. Even when we're unsure or scared, when we're sad or weary, discouraged or tempted, he is faithful. Taking hold of the hope that we have in Christ, the fact that our hope will not be cut off, starts by looking back to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, looking back to what he did on the cross. And it continues by looking forward to what he promises he will do one day. What this doesn't mean is that our life will be easy, because sanctification is hard. Hebrews 12:10 says that God disciplines us for our good, for the purpose that we may share in his holiness. But even in difficulty, we can trust that God is working on us and chipping away at us to make us like him. We can trust, even when it hurts, that our hope will not be cut off. And it's amazing to reflect on the fact that when he returns, those impurities, those things that we can never seem to kick in this life, those things that never seem to go away, will be burned away, and we'll be made perfect in holiness. It's with this hope that we can persevere in the fear of the Lord until he returns. For on that day, our faith will become sight. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that these words are true. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what you have prepared for those who love you. I pray for you to help us to see your love for us, your faithfulness, and I pray for you to root us in the future and the hope that we have as your people more and more each day. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.